Welcome back to the Solomon's Porch Podcast with your host, Jason.
And Sean. And Sean.
Okay.
Sean.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I got something in my teeth.
That'll work. That'll work.
I think it's pepper.
Okay. Welcome back to the porch this week. Thank you for joining us here. And if this is your first time listening, thank you so much for joining us. If you're a return listener, either way, ignore Sean. The noise in the background is
I'm trying to get that pepper out.
Yeah. Okay, so we only
why are you just staring at me, dude? So, I mean, that's kind of creepy.
So this is our
second. Have you never seen anybody try to get something out of their teeth before?
Not in the microphone. Dude. During the live broadcast of a show.
It's not live. This is a podcast.
But we're live on Facebook. So either way, it's live.
Yeah, but they're not seeing the stuff in my teeth, though.
Yeah, either way. There's a level of professionalism that we need to have. So
why am I on the show?
You're kind of one of the...
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in. If you're on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us. If you're listening to the podcast, gracias. We appreciate it. So this week we're going to be talking about, we're going to be giving some parental advice that we've received over the years and that we've implemented.
You've already said that, right?
And not on the podcast, I did on Facebook Live.
Oh, okay.
And kind of in celebration of Aaron having his baby, some of this advice might be helpful for him.
Sure.
Most of it's probably not because we don't really know what we're talking about. And we're also going to talk about Mace and the whole situation for him coming out doing a diss track and his response to why he did it, even being a self-proclaimed Christian and a pastor. But we're going to talk about the whole entire situation in the third segment. But before we jump into all that, we do want to thank Covenant Eyes for being an affiliate sponsor for the show. If you want to support the show, you want to protect your family against the stuff that's all over the web, you can use Covenant Eyes. It's a great service to help protect you and your family from that. And if you use the link on our Facebook page, or if you use the link on our website, solomonsportpodcast.com, we get a little bit of that coming back to the show to help support. So anyway,
and of course you can always be a Patreon.
Supporter. We need to push that more.
Yeah. Well, I just got an email from them and they were like, "Hey, you now get like 95% of what comes in." And I was like, "Oh, that's awesome."
Well, it's funny because I got an email from Patreon for my Business with Bordeaux podcast.
Yeah.
And for like the first year, I never pulled any money out of it because, you know, it wasn't a whole lot.
Sure.
And so I let it build up and then I got to like $56. And so I finally figured out how to pull it out and then just did like a monthly draft. Okay. So we go from Patreon to PayPal. So I got an email and it was like, Patreon has put $9.11 into your PayPal account. So I took a picture, Instagram shot it, and I said, I've almost reached my living wage. Almost there. Almost. I just need one or two more people to sign up on Patreon and I'll be able to make
two or three more cents and you'll have it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If I was living in a third world country, I'd have way more than I would need.
That's true. That's true. Because, you know, I mean, being short on cents here in the United States is fairly common, but over there it's, you know,
it's a travesty. Sean with the bars. Sean's got some bars we didn't know about.
Hey, that's a past I would like to leave behind me.
Anyway, man.
So, how you doing?
I'm tired, man. Tired.
Yeah.
Two flat tires this morning.
Yeah.
And gracias to a good friend of mine.
Yeah, two.
Two, huh?
Two.
Two good friends of mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. So shout out to folks for helping out this morning in a pretty rough situation, especially as soon as I got off of work.
Hey, you know what? At least it was not raining.
That's true.
Yeah,
it was
really
trying
stunk.
To rain, but it didn't. God blocked that for me.
That's right.
And that's so really funny. Small blessings. I recognize small blessings.
Right.
And I've never, in the 6 years I've worked third shift, I have never had to walk in the pouring rain.
Wow.
Never in 6 years. Huh. Unfortunately, my coworker on the opposite 7 days, she has. I've been, well, at least I assume.
She's not a believer, is she?
I've been here at the house, and I've had it storming here at like 9 o'clock.
Right.
And I have no idea if it's storming there. I just kind of assumed it was. But I was like, dang, I kind of feel bad because, like, I never get, like, a bad storm where I pull up to work.
See, that's what you get for being a Christian, y'all. It's
the small blessings.
You get to walk into work without pouring rain. So
I got that Jesus covering, literally.
Yeah.
He covers
me. His blood is blocking the rain. It's covering your head. Yep.
To me, I mean, I wouldn't say small miracles like that. But to me, it is the small things like that that sometimes I'm like, I wonder if God does that just to keep me level-headed sometimes. Because, you know, sometimes I go into work and I'm just stressed out about being at work, situation, whatever.
Sure.
And so it's just little small things that could tip us over the edge. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes he's there to keep those small things from happening.
But, you know, at the same time, I think that often we overlook those things. Because it actually took another friend that I was on the phone with, and she said, well, at least it's not raining.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good point. All right. Yeah. Thank you, God. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, that was kind of interesting today. But
hey, so Christmas shopping. Are you done?
I'm done. Best because the only Christmas shopping I do is for my wife. And I got her gift this morning after I replaced tires.
What was one of her gifts a tire?
No.
No. Well, that's good. That's
it
good.
It was a lug nut, though.
Yeah. See, usually only like cyclists are, you know, excited about getting tires for Christmas. But
that's true. That's true.
So, but
I get tired every Christmas time.
Yeah, I have a spare tire.
Yeah. So anyway, man, so how about you?
Yeah, bad stuff. You know, for the most part, family stuff is mostly done. Internal shopping, you know, not yet. But, you know, it was interesting, though. My daughter was ranting a little bit. She said, I don't understand the thing with these elves on a shelf, right? She's just, it's so ridiculous. These parents, they put this thing on the shelf. They pretend that it's alive. They talk to their kids about it. You know, that it's watching them, their behavior, reporting back to Santa Claus and stuff. And they move it around in the middle of the night. So that way the kids think, like, you know, it's still sort of really alive.
Yeah, it's creepy.
You know, and that's what I was thinking. I was just like, dude, that's a straight horror movie right there, man.
Yeah. It's got like a little, like, could you imagine if people started installing cameras in those things?
Oh, totally. I totally see creepy. That. Yeah.
So, I don't know. We don't do that stuff.
Yeah. Well,
and I'll kind of halfway explain that later in our Around 5 segment, but
yeah. And I didn't want to get into a Christmas rant, but anyway, I thought it was kind of funny. You know, she's 14 years old. She's just like, it's just so stupid. Just tell your kids the truth, y'all.
Y'all.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, with that drawl and everything. I was just like, oh my goodness, we got to move out of the South.
Yeah,
we gotta get out of the South. Anyway,
goodness.
So, but, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna go on to the next thing on the
list. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, all right. So, hey, December 15th, Star Wars: Last Jedi. I know we've been talking about it. We've mentioned it. I don't know, for probably the last 6 months or so.
You've been mentioning it since Episode 7 dropped.
Yeah, something
we hadn't
like
had
that.
A show at that time, but.
So super excited. Lots of good trailers that are out. You know, one thing that we've noticed, though, and I told my daughter this just before Star Wars Episode 7 really started ramping up. I said, now watch. I said, you're going to see Star Wars stuff on everything.
Yep.
And she's like, no. when we saw, you know, tangerines
everything.
And it had Yoda on it, everything. She was just like, what?
They're marketing that movie like Disney's a marketing genius.
Yeah. Well,
the Disney team knows how to make people want to see something.
And it's everywhere. I mean, you know, Nissan commercial has nothing to do with Star Wars whatsoever, except that they have a Rogue.
Yep.
And that was relevant when, you know, Rogue One was coming out, but. What?
Well, you went and bought one, so you fell into it.
No, my wife bought one, so.
And she's your wife, so that's how good the marketing was. She was like, my husband would really like if I drove a Rogue.
No, actually, she said my daughter would really like
it. There you see? A Rogue. So. I'm telling you, they got it in the bag. But yeah, I may go see this in theaters if I'm able to. It's the only one I've wanted to go see in theaters because I've seen all the rest of them.
Sure.
Episode 7 was really good. The trailers for 8 looks really good.
Yeah.
And as a new person kind of stepping into the Star Wars realm, you know, I am excited to see what happens in this film. And so
yeah, it's definitely gonna be good. I think it's alluding to a very strong twist in it, and that's not making my daughter so happy. But other than that, she's pretty stoked. I think we're going to wait and not see it opening night. I think we're going to go see it Saturday afternoon. So.
Cool deal.
Yeah. So, Twilight Zone, CBS is looking at seriously rebooting the Twilight Zone. I don't know if you ever watched any of those with Rod Serling. Rod Serling?
I hadn't, but... I mean, I'd seen some episodes back in the day, but I didn't like watch it regularly.
Okay.
So, but I did notice they had the main two characters coming back to the show.
So this is kind of big, I think, you know, because it's sort of a make it or break it. I mean, you could totally flop with this thing, or you could totally have a brand new relaunched hit. And CBS is pretty good with that. I mean, you know, they've done that with Hawaii 5-0. So, and definitely Star Trek, the new Star Trek is awesome.
I don't think I've seen any CBS shows.
Really?
I don't think so.
You don't watch NCIS?
I mean, not really. Not on the regular. No.
Blue Bloods?
No.
Wow. Dude, no. Where do you live?
I watch Fox and CW and ABC.
Yeah. That's mostly where my daughter lives too. But yeah. Anyways.
Well, I live at home.
Yeah. Well, I know. She lives in CW, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, they're going to reboot it. But for those of you that are hoping that it's going to come on regular television, it's not. It's going to be their all access package, just like the new Star Trek. So you have to pay for their CBS all access services.
So it's like Netflix.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, well, and you know, we've said it before, that's where TV's going these days.
That's what it's doing, man.
Yeah, go ahead and get prepared for it.
Cool. So, and speaking of, you know, ABC, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started back up.
What?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'll be honest, man, whenever I heard it was starting back up, I was like, I don't care.
Did you watch it?
Well, I finally decided, I watched like the first 30 minutes at this point.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
So
you're
I hadn't
make
got,
it tough on me.
I hadn't gotten through the rest of it yet.
Spoiler.
I was going to do it this morning. No, spoiler. I was going to do it this morning, but I was just so tired after the whole car shenanigan deal. But after watching the last season on Netflix, first part of the season with Ghost Rider, for me, was like, I don't really care for it. But then when it went into like the second half of the season, and then when they rounded it off at the end of it, I was like, this is worth watching.
Yeah.
And that made me excited to see. And the funny thing is, before I even decided to finish watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix, I went ahead and decided to start recording just in case.
Good deal.
Just in case. Yeah, and so I started recording it. I still have Inhumans on my DVR.
I don't know why. I think I got through part of the third episode.
So, and that's the part I hadn't really jumped into yet. Yeah. But anyway.
Dude, you got to watch it. Honestly, it's a departure, but it is, to me, far better than the LMD series. I think there's a lot that they can do with it, and can create a lot of great storylines. You know, it'll get played out after the season, I think, but even still, they'll get a good solid season's worth out of it for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited, man. So I'm gonna be checking that out probably maybe tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. So. All right. So moving on to other news. We totally didn't even get this thing lined up, did we?
No.
Yeah.
I just plugged in stuff.
I see that. Yeah, there's like other movie stuff later.
Well, I mean, we'll go ahead and mention Infinity War.
Yeah, go ahead.
In relation. So you saw the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
I was mad because when the trailer released, I was in a doctor's office where I had no data connectivity, nothing.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there trying to watch and play the first 2 seconds showing like the planet.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. It would just keep replaying that planet.
Oh, wow.
For 2 seconds, and I was so mad. I was like, "Oh, roaming something, anything. Give me the Wi-Fi password." Like, I was so mad, I couldn't get access to being able to see it. I was in there for like 30 minutes waiting on my daughter to come in.
Oh wow!
And so finally, I got out to the car and I watched it, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready for that.
I'm ready."
Yeah.
Everybody was like, everybody I saw, I shared it in the Track Stars comic book fan page on Facebook, and everybody, I feel like, loved the trailer.
Yeah.
In complete honesty, I wasn't 100% satisfied, but I think I had to realize it was just a teaser trailer.
Yeah, you're talking the first one.
So that's just a teaser trailer. And so whenever they release an official, like, full-length trailer,
oh, yeah,
I think that'll really make it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still happy about, you know, seeing Thanos finally done.
Right.
And getting a look at the Infinity Gauntlet, seeing the whole entire, what is possibly the end scene in Infinity War with the Wakanda scene.
Right.
You know, people very have cool. broke down, like, the Hulkbuster. There's actually an idea that it's probably Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
Going from, you know, New York to Wakanda. And and then he shows up in Scarlet Witch, is like, oh, crap. There he is. Because she ain't seen him since Avengers 2.
Right, right.
So I'm anxious, man.
Scarlet Witch?
Yeah. What did I say? Red Scarlet?
No, you said Scarlet Witch, but do you mean Black Widow?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Black Widow or whatever.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scarjo.
See, that's the part that gets me thrown off.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm excited, man. And I think I'm still probably more ready to see Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because it's so different.
Yeah.
It's nothing like it. You know, we've seen Avengers, so this is like a revamped Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have changed and things like that, but
I think we're also going to see a little bit of that extra worldliness. I mean, obviously,
the cosmic realms.
Yeah,
coming in.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have a little bit of Thor, Ragnarok kind of feel in there as well. So,
yeah. And a lot of the fight scenes ain't even on Earth. Like,
yeah.
There's a planet that they're on when he's fighting Spider-Man and Iron Man. So.
Yeah. So, it's, well, and, okay. Gosh, man, I hate that you haven't seen S.H.I.E.L.D. yet, man. I can't even.
I gotta watch it.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So, moving right along. I mean, it's no secret. You know, they usually tie in S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit into the movie. So, you know, I can see where they can go with that. So,
gotcha.
All right, moving along. Oh, that was me. Sorry.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah, that was me. Sorry. We jumped around a little bit. Jump. Jump around. Uber teams up with Meals on Wheels for a 2-year commitment. Hey, look, you know, Uber is usually catching a lot of flack for stuff. And it seems like companies, when they're in, you know, sort of social media trouble, they do something good to try to help their reputation or whatever. And, you know, that may be this kind of a situation where they're trying to do that. But just the same, I have to applaud them. Meals on Wheels is a ministry of service, you know, whatever you want to call it, that frankly I find as being, I don't know anybody personally that's benefited from it, but I've always...
Have you?
Okay.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
So, you know, but I still feel like it's the sort of thing where it's definitely worthwhile organization, nonprofit, that's doing something definitely very, very positive. Because, you know, most times it's not just people just, hey, here's your food, have a nice day, bye. They usually take a moment and say, hey, how are you today? It's good to see you, Mrs. So-and-so. You know, and that just really helps people out. It really does, you know.
And Uber's trying to course correct.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, even though that may be it, but still, I don't know. I still applaud them. So, classy. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, so something that wasn't classy at all. You're not on social media, so you haven't seen the whole Tyrese thing online. So,
Who's Tyrese?
Tyrese. You know, Fast and Furious movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy that plays Roman.
Yeah.
So he openly admitted on...
Is he gay?
No.
Oh.
He openly admitted on social media that he committed marriage fraud. So his wife was from London.
Uh-huh.
He had a baby with her. And he said on a national syndicated radio show, he said, the only reason I married you was because you were pregnant with my kid. And it wasn't because I loved you. And he, you know, he's like, you know, you're from London and this, that, and the other. And the only reason I married you was so you didn't take my baby over there and this, that, and the other. And so, which is essentially marriage fraud, which is a federal penalty.
Is it really marriage fraud at that point?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's just stupidity as far as I'm concerned. I mean, who doesn't want to marry somebody from England? I mean, look at that super awesome accent.
In fact,
I think I'm going to divorce my wife and go marry some chick from England with like gnarled up teeth. Just so I can hear that wonderful accent.
So he's broke. Well, he ain't broke. He has a ton of stuff.
Oh yeah.
But he doesn't want to sell anything. He is essentially cash broke because they're pushing back the Fast and Furious films. So he's not getting paid for anything for a while because they're doing the Rock Jason Statham solo film. But he asked Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith for money.
Really? The Rock and Jason Statham are doing a movie?
They're doing their own. Yeah.
Is it still going to be Fast and Furious? Really?
It's a spinoff.
Really?
Yep. And so they're pushing back the Fast and Furious 9 to do that.
Yeah,
so
but he still gets like royalties for the other Blue Billion movies he's
done. Yeah, but they're not paying him millions up front that he can go and...
No, but so I mean, he should be able to live off
He's house broke. He's car broke. He has stuff, but he has no cash.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, he'll get a royalty check coming in at some point.
Yeah, but not the money he's used to having.
Yeah, you know.
So, anyway. But actually, somebody said that it was smart that he did that, though, because what will happen is his daughter's an American citizen.
Uh-huh.
His wife is not.
Right.
So if they go after her, they'll deport her for marriage fraud, but because the daughter's an American citizen, they can't just ship the daughter off with the mom. Because she has a father over here.
That's
now, I don't know how
dastardly.
Exactly true that is, but I was like, dude's a moron either
dastardly.
Way. He's a douchebag either way for opening up that can of sand.
That's messed up, man.
So, and then I also saw this week on actually the Breakfast Club, I saw T.D. Jakes. He had an interview. He's got a new book out called Soar. Uh-huh. This ain't like a promo for his book. But he did have a lot of business advice in that. Yeah, I said douchebag. Sean typed in the notes. Did you really just say that? Yeah, I did. So anyway, but it was a really great interview. If you haven't watched it, go check it out on YouTube. So T.D. Jakes is pretty much essentially it's a book about how he created his businesses and how anybody else can start from where they're at to reach their goals. And very good practical advice, things that I've heard and seen and things I've told people myself. So if you haven't seen it yet, you're interested in business, I'm going to share the video on businesswiththebordeaux.com. But it's just a really great interview. And then he actually talks about, like, you know, people talk about pulpit pimps. So in regards to T.D. Jakes and Joseph Prince and Beth Moore and, you know, who's the other old Joyce Meyer, you know, all the nationally syndicated televangelists or whatever.
Okay.
But he addressed that too. And so it was a lot of good stuff, man. It was a great interview. So if you've ever criticized or heard criticisms about T.D. Jakes, then I would suggest you go and watch the interview because he gets a lot of the stuff gets addressed by the interviewers. They're open with them. They're like, look, what do you say about all these people that complain about you having money and you're a pastor? Like, how do you justify that? And he breaks all that down. So,
I say just kill your television and don't worry about what anybody's doing.
Well, he doesn't care about it.
Yeah. I mean,
so, but you know, obviously people ask him in interviews and stuff, and so,
yeah.
So he knows the questions out there. It's just, you know, he just addresses it in the way he did on this interview. But anyway, okay. Man, so go check that out.
Yeah, so moving on to some music news. Five Iron Frenzy and Squad 5-0, have you heard of them?
I've heard of Five Iron Frenzy.
Okay, yeah, so kind of a punk ska kind of sound, and Squad 5-0 was more of a pop punk kind of band. Both Christian bands, so if you're as old as I am, or actually, Tim, if you're listening, you'd probably find it a little more interesting.
Now, are they Christian bands or bands that are Christian?
Yeah, probably more like the latter, but, you know, anyway, I know that Tim was a Five Iron Frenzy fan for a while, so, but, anyhow, and Squad 5-0, but anyhow, so they have announced a special, it's not even really a tour, it's just two dates that they're doing. They're playing together. And let's see, January 19th in Jacksonville, Florida, and January 20th in Atlanta. Tickets are about $20 for general admission. So if you're a fan, this is the time to get to see these bands perform again. When I first started getting into Christian music, they were bands that I was listening to. So, gotcha. You know, I actually am really tempted, man.
That's a long ways away, man.
I don't think I can rationalize the trips.
So. Maybe they'll live stream it on Facebook or something.
Yeah, well, some new material maybe. But see, I think really honestly, these guys, you got to see them live. You really do. So,
gotcha.
Anyway.
So, So before we go to break, we do want to announce our...
Well, actually, in music, we also have Rare of Breed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did put that in there.
Is that released? Is that out?
I don't know if that's officially released yet. Oh. He told me we could play it on the show.
Oh, okay.
So I think this is really the first time people are hearing it.
You know, I didn't actually look it up to see if he had it available.
So I'm not sure, man. If you want to glance real quick. So I'm gonna burn some time here. I'm a critique for Christian music. I'm not really a big fan of Christian music. I think it's stupid to have a certain type of music that you play once a year to celebrate Christ.
So not Christian music, Christmas.
Christmas music, sorry. Christmas music.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, that's just weird. It's like we reverent a certain type of song or certain songs for a certain time of year. You know, and Sean did his Christmas rant last year, so I'm not going to jump into that again this year, but this song is actually pretty good. I really enjoyed it. Rare Breed sent it to me yesterday, the day before. Told me that he just wanted to send it to me. Let me check it out. And I mean, it's called "Tis the Reason," but
"Tis the Reason to Be,"
definitely funny. Not that range. But
la 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 la.
Did you see it online? Do you see if it's available?
Nah, well, it's not available on his website. So okay. I don't have iTunes.
So I'm going to say this is a Solomon's Porch podcast exclusive.
Exclusive right here.
The first exclusive we've ever had.
Awesome.
So
thank you, Rare.
Thank you for that, sir. I hope y'all enjoy it. Let us know what you think. And here it is.
Another year full of traditions. Hey. I can smell it coming fresh up out the kitchen. My wife making sausage balls, it is delicious. Yo. Got the tree off the mountain, we cut it down. Get the milk and the cookies and sit them out. Got the radio pumping the songs of the season. I open my window and play it loud. But before we get crazy, just understand. While we celebrate it, let me fill you in. It's the birth of a savior who laid in a manger inside a stable out in Bethlehem. That's Jesus, God in the flesh. Made his appearance to pay off our debts. The greatest gift that you could ever receive. We want it all, I'm cutting the net. Oh. Mary, 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 that was Jesus' mama.
Jesus' mama.
Look inside the manger, Christmas is upon us.
Is upon us.
Hark the herald angels sing. Tis the reason.
Tis the reason.
Savior of the world. Everybody needs a mama. Mary, 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 that was Jesus' mama.
Jesus' mama.
Look inside the manger, Christmas is upon us.
Is upon us.
Hark the herald angels sing. Tis the reason.
Tis the reason.
Savior of the world.
I want that new toy, but I'm broke today. I ain't worried about it, they got a layaway. Lights going up, reindeers in the front yard. This beat hits, don't forget to buy a mouth guard. Oh, I'm never home alone, the spirit's with me. Macaulay Culkin with the confidence. You might find a Bible inside your stocking, but don't know who it's from, it's anonymous. Eggnog filled up in a tall glass. I'm just thankful I no longer have to mow grass. Put the Grinch stole Christmas on as I sit here and open my last can of hoo-hash. Heart grew bigger about 3 times. Happy holidays, Rare Breed with the free rhyme. Here's the gift of the season, remember the reason is Jesus. And always be kind.
Mary, 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 that was Jesus' mama.
Jesus' mama.
Look inside the manger, Christmas is upon us.
Is upon us.
Hark the herald angels sing. Tis the reason.
Tis the reason.
Savior of the world. Everybody needs a mama. Mary,
All right, welcome back to the Solomon Sports Podcast. That was not the way the song sounds at all.
No.
No.
Oh.
But that was Rare Breed. Tis the Reason.
I actually play it during our little break there. So
I didn't, because I always go back in post production and do it. That's a post production.
Is that the ones and twos?
That's the ones and twos.
Awesome.
And the sevens and eights. So anyway.
We don't have that many channels on our mixer.
Whenever it becomes available, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it comes available soon so you can go ahead and rock it for the Christmas season.
Yeah. Or you can just continue to replay it off of our podcast.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. We'll get those plays. Yeah. Not that we have sponsorships that are based off of plays, but.
But that would be.
Still pretty cool.
And Rare would appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Sure he would. So, anyway, we've actually had him on the show. So if you're curious, and we played his music on the show a few times, you can always go back and listen to the interview. It was sometime last year. So I'll make sure you go check that out as well. And
well, it was this year, wasn't it?
This year?
Yeah.
Oh, it was this year.
Damn. Yeah. It was just like winter.
Okay. So we forgot anyway. to do the giveaway. We're going to do the giveaway, but you interrupted me very rudely.
I did, actually. I don't know how rude it was, but I did interrupt.
We're going to tie the giveaway in to our True Strength Apparel sponsorship for the Round 5 segment, because Aaron Simpkins is the winner for that.
Yay!
Hear the clap? Clap. Hear it? So Aaron, tell you what, man. I love you so much, bro. I'm going to personally deliver your comic book to you.
Boy, I tell you what, that's something there.
I'm driving all the way to New Jersey this week just to give you that comic.
Don't lie to these people.
And I would have already given it, well, no, because this will release on probably Saturday or something. So, no, this will go out, and you might have heard it before I see you. Either way, congratulations. If you're interested in winning something from us, we'll have another giveaway soon.
All right.
Because we love our listeners and we want to show you our appreciation.
I don't really like
Okay, people. Sean hates people.
No, I don't hate people. I just don't like people.
Okay, he loves people though. He loves you guys. He loves you guys and gals. So this week our round five is parental advice. And this is pretty much parental advice that we've been given that we've kind of used, taken into effect, or at least we've started to or thought about it in a long process, because some of these I hadn't really got to that level yet, but I understand the importance of it. And so, and this is kind of in honor of, again, our brother Aaron, who just had a baby, and we thought this might be good for anybody who's having a baby, who wants to have a baby, who's... You know, trying to figure out this whole scary parenting
thing. Or for some odd reason, thinks that we matter in our opinions about what you should do with your children.
This is why you specified that this should be advice that we've received instead of just things that we decided to tell people.
Sure, yeah. So. Well, you have more of a Dr. Spock approach to child rearing, and I have more of a Dr. Dobson kind of approach, so... Do you not know who Dr. Spock is?
You threw me for a loop.
Okay, I'm not talking Star Trek. I mean, literally,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Anyway, all right,
so let's jump into it. Don't kick your mic again. That just sounds bad on the show.
Well, so speaking of Dr. Dobson, probably the very first thing that I learned from Dr. Dobson was discipline in love. So in my house, we did spank. My daughter's 14, so we don't do
that
anymore.
Shame on you.
But there were some guidelines that he said that you need to make sure that you establish. One of which is to establish rules. So you don't just say, oh, you did wrong, boom, spank him or her. But rather you need to say, hey, if you do this, the result is you will be spanked. That's important. You need to make sure you establish those guidelines. The next part to that is hold them accountable for that. So hold them to it, whatever that is. Anyway, you need to make sure that you actually follow through.
Gotcha.
So your kid messes up. You don't go, oh, man, I don't really feel like spanking them right now. We're at a restaurant or whatever. No, you need to go ahead and follow through.
Or whatever punishment you said that we're going to receive.
Yeah, well, follow through. Yeah, whatever. So, Dr. Spock over there speaking versus Dr. Dobson. So, you need to make sure and age appropriately, you know, when you're talking about spanking in particular, it needs to be age appropriate. And you also need to make sure that you're not spanking when you're angry. That's extremely important.
Yeah. And see, that's something that I've had to cut myself back from doing. So yeah. Now I send her to her room and then I go in there afterward and explain why I'm upset.
Right.
But before I would just pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but even after the spanking, make sure that you show them love and make sure that they know that you still love them.
And that's helpful. That really is. Because it makes you feel better as a parent, too.
Yeah.
Because after you spank your child, I feel bad about it. Sure. I'm like, I don't want to cause my child pain.
Right.
Like, because, you know, that's physical and, you know, mental in a way. Or emotional. Yeah.
Dr. Spock.
So for me, like, I go in there and I explain, you know, I ask them, do you know why I spanked you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm mainly talking about my 4-year-old.
Right.
And I'll ask her, do you understand why? And mm-hmm. if she knows why. Like, she understands. And because normally I tell her ahead of time, like, look, if you keep doing such and such, you're going to get the spanking.
Right.
And so, and then, you know, I hug her, tell her I love her. She jumps all over me. We play.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Probably the one time that it stuck out in my mind the most when I was thinking about this list, we were actually at a steak restaurant with family. And I don't even remember what it was that she had done, but my daughter had done something that we had told her, if you do this again, or if this is behavior that you do, you will receive a spanking. Because sometimes it's not, they just did it right then, and you say, oh, okay, if you do it again, then you get spanked. But, you know, it may be repetitive behavior.
Right.
You know, if you talk bad to, you know, us, then you're going to get a spanking. So anyway, I had to excuse myself politely from our family, pull my daughter up. She was pretty young, so I carried her into the men's room, went into one of the stalls, explained to her, I said, okay, do you know why you're getting your spanking? She said, yes. She told me what it was. And I said, okay. I gave her spanking, and then I hugged her. And she cried for a little while. I said, you know, I love you, but you have to understand that this behavior is not acceptable behavior, and that's why there are consequences for your actions. To this day, that sticks with her. So that probably should have been my number one, but it's not. So it's my longest one because I feel like, you know, you say spanking and everybody just, you know, oh, you beat your kid.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I did spank her. You know, it was appropriate for her. And I did it in a very judicial manner.
So, and anyway. Another reason why you don't spank in anger is because one time I was spanking my nephew and I took my belt off to do it because his butt was so tough, like mm-hmm. just a regular spanking didn't work.
Right.
And I accidentally welded him with the metal end of the belt Ooh. On the butt. And so he had a lot of little places where the belt pinched him pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And but though I think it was the last time I had to spank him.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not thinking clearly, you're not as in control.
Exactly.
And then what that does is that generates fear.
Yeah.
And that's not the point of the discipline. So you can discipline in love, and it can be harsh in terms of the physical contact, but it's all about how you do it. So anyway, yeah. All right, so let's get on to yours.
So my first one is... not having the attitude, and this is probably more for daddies with daughters. And we both have daughters,
mm-hmm.
and I know a lot of guys who only have daughters.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of appropriate for all of us. But not having the attitude of, I'm going to be walking around with my gun everywhere to threaten all these young men who might possibly try to, you know, date, court, whatever my daughter one day.
What's wrong with that?
Because it does a couple of things. One, it... like we're supposed to be teaching our daughters like what kind of people to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we show them an example of how we're supposed to be toward our spouse, then naturally,
Ooh.
Then naturally your daughter or your son, whichever, they're going to be looking for a spouse that replicates what they see from their mother or father. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a person who your wife doesn't need to have a gun to scare you away or something, then your daughter essentially isn't going to need to have that, well, I got to have a physical layer of protection around me because I can't see I can't see an evil in a guy, or I can't see ill intention in a guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to train our daughters to be smart, not to necessarily be walking around in defensive mode. And I mean, it's really not good for anybody. And then, you know, and also it builds a level of trust in us to know and to not have that fear. Like, I mean, you know, especially for daughters who go off to college and stuff, you want to make sure by that point in time, like, you know, if she ever brings anybody home from school to meet parents, that this is going to be a respectable guy. It's going to be a godly guy. He's going to be a leader of some sort, like, or something in that realm. And so
I'd have to say, though, I don't think you could ever know that. You can't know for sure. To the best of your abilities, you can do everything that in your power that you know to be right. And they still have a free will.
I mean, that's very true. So, you know, kind of the part, the 1B is teach him how to shoot a gun himself.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
That's 1B.
And I think that, you know, self-defense in general is a great idea. Because, you know, I'm gonna put it out there. There was a time in my life when I would have been, you know, I try to be that really super nice guy, and you know, I listen to your feelings and stuff. But I'm gonna tell you what I really want. Right? Okay. So, you know,
you want their feelings?
Yeah. No, I had no, you know, inclinations about anything that they were saying. All I was thinking was one thing. No. Yeah.
The physical feelings.
Yeah.
I will say, though, and I actually got this from Joe Rogan from UFC. He actually said that his wife and daughters, they learn jiu-jitsu. That's their number one MMA fighting defense mechanism, because usually men can overpower women just on a natural scale.
Sure.
And so jiu-jitsu is something that you can defend off from the ground better than you could like kickboxing or something.
Sure.
And so I was thinking, that's actually really smart. That's something I'm going to sign my daughters up for when they get older.
Right.
That way they can defend themselves when they are on their back on the ground.
Sure.
Or, you know, in a bed or something, if God forbid that ever happened.
Right.
And so that's something else to keep in mind, too. But,
well, you know, because there's lots of great people that end up making a poor decision. And, you know, before things start to get too far, they realize that, no, this isn't right.
Right.
And then you've got somebody that's proceeding just the same.
Yeah.
So they need to be able to know how to defend themselves. Absolutely. So, all right.
So number 4 for you.
But you make a good point about the no gun attitude. You know, I mean, I you know, I've always teased about it,
right.
You know, but you're right. So long as they're raised up properly, you know, they're going to try to make better decisions than, you know, what would necessitate a gun kind of thing.
I mean, that goes on a line of not just dating, but like, being able to recognize who's a good, like, pastor. I mean, just anything like that. Whether it's a leader in your home, leader in a church. I mean, for example, like, you want your child to be well-informed biblically, have a spiritual maturity level to where they can see if a pastor's, like, out of bounds in his preaching or theology.
Or has, like, you know, cold, soft hands or something. So
anyway, man, so number 4 for you. We got to get this thing moving.
You do realize, like, pastor was just like, dude, why'd you guys have to say something about my hands? I was like, what are you talking about?
That was Ann Sean. That wasn't me.
And pastor's wife was just like, it's so funny. I keep picking on him about it. I was like, picking on him about what? So, yeah, I didn't realize that we had said something about his hands. Just so that way every listener knows.
That was you.
Well, no, you came in with part of it.
No.
Yeah.
I think I said soft.
Yeah. I was talking about cold hands. Yeah. So. Yeah, well, so was I. Anyway, that's the point. I wanted to clear the air real quick. So, Pastor, if y'all are listening, if you go to watch it, whatever. He really did. Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, I've shaken his hand. I've held his hand during prayers. It's not cold. It's not. Well, I don't know how soft they are. I didn't really pay attention. So.
Didn't stick out to you?
No, okay. I really didn't. Okay. So anyway, all right, moving along. So next on my list, number 4, listen to your kids and converse with them. Actually have conversations.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we're not talking about like you're going to have some super deep conversation with your 4-year-old.
I do.
You do? Yeah, okay. And that's cool, but you know, sometimes it's just whatever fluff stuff that they've been watching on TV or whatever, or something that's going on at school, but it's important to them. And if it's important to them, it needs to be important to you as well. So
yeah, I got that bad habit. I try to, you know, because it's like, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? And for me, it's like giving counsel to somebody my own age. But she's four.
Well, no, I do that with my 14-year-old, and she hates me for it. But
she's like, well, why this? Well, why that? Well, why this? Why that? And it's like, I just keep going and going and going. But I don't want to just brush it off. Like, I don't want to say, I don't want to get to a point. Well, and not even just that, but like if she's asking questions about Bible stuff or something, why do they have to kill Jesus? You know, stuff like that.
Sure.
I don't want to limit her ability to understand.
Sure.
Based on what I think she can understand.
Absolutely.
The worst that'll happen is I explain to her truth and she doesn't quite understand it yet. And she comes back later and asks for clarification,
which is great.
And so I don't want to limit her to, well, because he had to die for us.
Right.
And cut her off at that.
Yeah.
So if she keeps asking, I keep digging into it. And then my wife's like, she's not understanding all this. And I'm like, but she's hearing the truth.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
But, so number four for me is, I guess this is, for me personally, it was more of a matter of me having all daughters. And people were like, you know, well, you got to have a son, So again, this is more toward fathers with daughters or fathers who don't have any children or people who don't have children yet and do end up having just daughters. Don't make people feel like your daughter isn't enough or your daughters are like, you got to have a son. Some people are funny about legacy.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned before on the show, I don't care about that whole situation. I don't care about my name transferring down. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Your name is only as good as the sheet of paper it's written on. Like, I mean, now in terms of being an honorable man, like people, like me personally, like people knowing I'm an honest person or that stuff does matter. But in terms of like four or five generations from now, people saying, Jason Bordeaux was a good man. Look at his family lineage. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. As long as my daughters have Jesus as their, that's the heritage I care about for my daughters. That's the
lineage, yeah.
So as long as their future husband, I don't care what their last name is.
Right.
As long as they're with Christ. Like that's my only concern in regards of that. And so don't ever feel like, you know, and here's the thing is a lot of, for guys and mostly guys out there, I think your father is going to be the one who really pushes for that because your father is going to want a grandson that he can be proud of on the football field or wherever else. And so, you know, make sure you don't let that, you don't let that boundary be an issue. So don't ever let anybody make you feel like your child isn't enough because, especially because of their gender, I mean, or of any reason. But to me, that's like the worst reason for somebody to, because I don't want my daughter to be like, well, why did everybody keep saying you should have had a son?
Yeah.
I mean, that's BS.
I tell people this story all the time. As soon as we found out that my wife was pregnant, I honestly prayed and I said, God, if it's your will, I'd really love to have a daughter. If I have nothing else, I really want a daughter. I don't know why. It was just what was put on my heart.
Right.
And, I didn't think about lineage. I didn't think about carrying on my family name or anything else like that because I know that was really important. But it was put on my heart to raise up a daughter that would follow Christ. And that was the important part.
Right.
So whether or not you felt like you had that calling or not, the point is that God's blessed you with that.
Yep.
So do everything in your power to make sure that you've trained them up in the way that they should go. So, all right. Well, moving along to my next one. Edify them in their presence. So, you know, the first time I even heard the word edify, I was like, what? I don't even know what that is. But it's speaking highly of someone else, praising them in their presence.
Gas them up. Gas them up.
Sure.
If I know what that
gas
means.
Gas them up. Okay.
you know what that means?
Well, I'm assuming it's like, you know, lifting build them up.
Yeah.
So. All right. But, you know, and not like to, you know, a stupid kind of point, but, you know, when you're... One, you should always be praising them for whatever it is that they're doing. You know, you have a daughter that was wrapping gifts. They weren't the most beautiful wrapped gifts in terms of what people would see as beautiful wrapped gifts, but they were beautiful to me. Right. They were beautiful to me because she was proud of them. Yeah. She was just like, look, Sean, I wrap gifts. I wrap this one and this one, and then she counted them out for me. And I loved her excitement, you know? And so I praised her for it. And they need that kind of that praise, and they need that edification, even if you're talking to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to hear you say, you know what, my daughter did this the other day, and it just made me smile. Your daughter hears that, and that makes a big difference to them. That gives them that self-esteem, you know? So it doesn't really matter what the rest of the world may be saying about them. Oh, you're fat, your hair looks funny, your eyes are crossed, you have, you know, whatever going on. Why does she have a 3-foot beard? I don't know. But, you know, it doesn't matter because your parents love you and they know that because they're hearing that from your mouth. And, you know, the Bible talks about the tongue and how powerful the tongue is. And that's one of those ways that we can powerfully, positively impact our children.
So. Yeah. And I would, now I'd add on to that, if somebody hears you complimenting them when they're not around, they know it's legit.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Because sometimes we can compliment somebody in front of them, and then...
It's just for show.
Yeah, it could just, you know, they might feel like it's just for show. Like, I used to be told, you know, I grew up with my aunt, and her boyfriend used to always criticize everything I ever did. And she would say, well, he said, you know, such and such good about you. I'm like, why didn't he tell me that?
Right.
Like, and all I ever hear from the background is, you know, bad stuff. And so, I mean, you know, make sure you talk good about them even when they're not around, because they might actually be around. You never know.
Yeah.
You could accidentally leave your phone on without cutting it off and they could hear what you're saying. You know, like, those are things you got to think about. Always talk about them like they're right there in front of you. And, I mean, unless you're talking about their Christmas gift or something. So.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Yeah.
But, so number three for me, and this was something that I was never told like this, but, you know, the importance of teaching kids about, like, you know, Santa and all that stuff.
Satan.
And not even in regards to, like, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Not even anything like that. For me, the specific point I want to make here is making sure that the reason why my wife and I are honest about Santa, about St. Nicholas, all that stuff, is because I don't want my daughter to one day think that Jesus is just another character like Santa, or like the Easter Bunny, or like the Tooth Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're teaching them all these different people, figures, make-believe characters at the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the story of Christ, like, it sounds very, you know, it's a miraculous story. And it's an unnatural thing for him to raise from the dead. You know what I'm saying? Things like that.
Reindeer flying.
And so they could see, like, well, hold on. Well, they were lying about Santa. Like, and, you know, maybe they're lying about Jesus just to keep me in line. And so for reasons like that, that's the reason why I personally don't want my kids to be thinking about Santa and the North Pole, bringing gifts and this, that, and the other. And, you know, and not even just that, but whenever you use Santa, the nice list and the naughty list, that's almost like waving the commandments in front of them. And like, you know, you get into heaven if you do all these good things, you know, so there's parallels there that I feel like we as an American culture have drawn Jesus and Santa. We've created these, you know, similar constructs around behavior and this person that gives you gifts and all these things. And so for me personally, that's one of the things that I've recognized and that I personally am very funny about when it comes to, you know, Santa and you know, Christmas and all that. Not because, like, Jesus is the reason for the season. You're like, not necessarily for that, but for the other reason. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Bite your tongue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? For the next one? Or
No. I just, you know, we did a whole show on Christmas last year, and I could easily do it again. So anyway, this next one kind of goes back to the Edify and their presence, but I think it deserves a separate noting. Make sure they know that you love them no matter what. And that also kind of goes back to even the spanking scenario.
Right.
But even as your children get older, they're still your children. They can be 30 years old and they're still your children. And it's important for them to know that, you know, okay, you might be doing this, you might have done that, you might have made these decisions. I still love you. You're still important to me. And, you know, I get a little bit of that now as my daughter's 14. And, you know, she may say that she feels this way or that way about something. And I talk to her about those things and we try to analyze it. We try to break it down a little bit and figure out, well, why do you see things this way? Why do you see things that way? I want you to understand, though, that just because you may see things different from me, that's okay. And I still love you. You don't have to see things my way to please me.
Right, right.
You know? And so even though that's kind of where we are with that right now, you know, I think of where I was in my life. And my father still showed me love. He still went out of his way to love me and make sure that I knew that he loved me, even though I was doing a lot of really messed up stuff. And, you know, it's important. And I think I was specifically thinking of this when I read my father's eulogy that I gave. I just recently had found it again. I'd forgotten where I'd placed it, and I found it, and I read back through it again. And that was the one thing that really stuck out to me, was that it didn't really matter how far away from God that I was. He still loved me, and I knew that, and I could get up at his funeral in front of a bunch of folks and say that.
And so, that's like godly love.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's a true like prodigal son father.
Yeah, thing. Exactly.
So that's good. The next thing for me is kind of on along of, you know, I guess Christmas time is what made me think of it, but. Show your children how fun it is to give to others. It's really important for young kids to understand, like, you know, my daughter wrapping gifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. She does like to give to other people, and I used to love it too. Like, I still do, but and that's, you know, moved on through my adulthood. But you know, just teach, you know, one, it's just the biblical principle, it's better to give than receive. Sure. But show them that, you know, I think sometimes like giving gets a bad rap because you always hear pastors talking to broke people about you got to give out a sacrifice. Mm. And so it always sounds like a negative thing.
Right.
Like even if it's supposed to be a positive thing, it sounds negative.
Sure.
But just teach from a young age, like, you know, you're so blessed to have all this stuff. We have way more than what we need. You know, give some of that away to somebody.
Right.
Or, you know, take something and go buy something for somebody. I used to take all my Christmas money that I got at Christmas to go buy everybody else gifts.
Right.
Like, that's what I like to do with it. And so, you know, I want my daughters to kind of have the same. And they do in a way. You know, obviously they don't have their own personal money to go right. buy it with. So yeah. They're like, can we buy, you know, Ethan this? Or can we go buy, you know, Aiden this? Or, right. you know, this, that, and the other kid? And so I'm glad that they like doing that. And so, you know, I'm hoping to continue to teach them, like, it is much better to give than receive, and it's so much fun to do because seeing a smile or an expression of relief on somebody else's face, that's priceless. I mean,
sure.
So, short and sweet one.
Okay. Man, see, you pulled in Christmas again. I really wanted to go there again.
I'm trying to test your self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, I've been praying for you.
Yeah, well, it's working, I guess. All right. So anyway, last one. Be there. Just be there.
I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there.
And I'm specifically speaking to fathers. you know, there's so often that we get wrapped up in our careers and what it is that we're doing and our hobbies, hanging out with our friends or whatever. You got to be there for your kids, you know. Your kid's going and performing in some silly kindergarten, first grade drama or something. And you're like, man, you know, I'd rather bang my head against the wall than to hear little kids, you know, flounder around on, you know, a holy night or something, you know, or the football game's on. My team's playing, y'all.
Daddy, watch this. Hold on, baby, wait. Halftime's coming wait. You know.
And then you can show me. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, sometimes it's hard to do.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not saying that I've been perfect on that, but I do know that there was a time in my life when I worked a lot. And it wasn't until after, well, frankly, I had to be laid off. They cut my whole department and I had no job. And then all of a sudden I started to see everything that I was missing. And I wouldn't take anything for it at this point. You know, I'm actually happy that I was laid off.
Right.
I have some of the best time and best memories with my daughter as a result of that, of having that freed up time. So, not sitting around being unemployed.
Right.
Don't get the wrong impression, but rather to say that, you know, I was traveling a lot, so it would be nothing for me to be gone, from Sunday night to Saturday morning. You know, so pretty much an entire week of not being there and have totally missed out everything in my daughter's life. And, you know, and I still regret that. I try not to let that get to me because I know that's Satan. But being there for your kids is huge. And I know that there's, you know, deadbeat dads and that sort of thing. And my wife has a deadbeat dad, and I see what it's done to her.
Right.
And it still affects her today, you know, because it's someone that felt like the, you know, racing or whatever it was that he was doing was more important than spending time with his daughter. You know, I mean, you come up to me and you tell me something like that and I'm likely to punch you in the face. So, just saying. So, but anyway, don't be a deadbeat dad. Be there.
Yeah. And actually, belief in fatherhood, the YouTube channel that's kind of blown up from belief, he actually, the very first video he did was called Be Present.
Yeah.
And it was essentially that.
Yeah.
Like, just be present. Be there for your kids. Be around them. And so, and it, that led into a whole entire career doing YouTube. So, just showing him being there for his kids. Like, it's so rarely seen now that when somebody does it, you're like, dang. That makes a big difference. So my very last one might be a whole entire flip on this whole entire round five segment. And that's essentially, don't let anyone tell you how to raise your kids. So, you know, yeah, we give advice here, but ultimately, you know, you're the child's parent. You're the mother. You're the father.
Follow the spirit.
And you have a Holy Spirit inside of you that can guide you through the whole entire process of parenting your child. It is good to have wise counsel. You know, so that'd be essentially like me saying, don't let a pastor tell you how to live your Christian life. You know, we do have people there with experience, with the gift of teaching and counseling. So, you know, it is good to do that, but don't let anybody tell you, you know, especially if it's, you know, not a biblical backing, that you're doing something wrong, that this is bad for your child.
Dr. Spock.
This is going to ruin your child long term, this, that, and the other, because every child's different. And that might actually be my honorable mention, is you can't raise every child the same.
Well, you know, and I'm going to pull Dr. Dobson back into this. You know, whether you're a listener of his shows or not, it doesn't really matter. But that's one thing that he's always emphasized. You know, he's got books and books and books and seminars and videos and stuff and radio programs. And but he'll still tell you that there's no cookie cutter way to do this.
Yeah.
Every child is different. Now, here's some guidelines. Here's some things to think about and to consider when you're looking at the whole picture before you move forward. Because some things are not going to work with some kids.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a strong-willed child, it may be that spanking just isn't going to do it for them. You may have to do something else.
Another child you could just look at intensely and they melt.
And boom, that's it. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I think that was probably one of the big things, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it, even though I'm a big fan of Dr. Dobson, and I would definitely recommend if you're looking for any kind of advice or information on rearing children, I would go there. I can't even begin to tell you how grateful I am to his radio programs, because I've listened to them while traveling, and I applied a lot of those basic principles, and it's not failed me. Now, this is coming from the information that you'll get from Dr. Dobson is coming from a guy who has a son who definitely strayed. So, I mean, there's no guarantee. Just because you do whatever doesn't mean that your kid's not still going to make their own decisions and do their own thing. Now, of course, the son has come back. So I guess maybe that's the train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, we'll depart from it. But anyway, so, bear that in mind.
Yeah. And that's another reason why, and that fits in with don't let anybody tell you how to raise your child, is because people are going to say, well, my child had this problem, and this is what I did to fix that problem. It worked. Or this is what my cousin did. This is what my neighbor did. And this goes from everything on diaper rash cream to diapers itself to punishing or disciplining, to all that stuff. All that stuff is different for every child. You can't, there's no blanket anything for any child other than teach them about Jesus and how to follow the Holy Spirit.
So. I would say that there are some fundamental things that people do have a tendency to ignore that honestly, if they did pay attention, they'd probably have a lot less trouble. Look, I've worked in a lot of different retail stores, installing 1-hour photo labs, and I've seen a lot of children and parents that are way overly stressed out, and they're way overly stressed out because their child is running their lives instead of them controlling the situation. So just, be mindful of some things. Be open as well, I would say.
All right. Well, that's it for our round five parental advice. So anyway, we will be right back to talk about mace and how to wear your Christendom in your whole entire life aspect. So we'll be right back.
Come back. Hey. Come back. Sheep led astray. Come back. Come back. Sheep led astray. Sheep led astray. Come back. I see you slipping away, drifting away, praying for better days, trying to get away, but this ain't track. You did things that you think that you can't take back, so what could replace that? I hop in the booth, relay that truth. Whew, straight facts, ready or not, I'ma weather the storm. They just riding the wave, eating lies up, bandwagoning, seven ties with the face. Rick Taylor got flow, you can find and relate. Had to tell these MCs they contradicting themselves. Food only seems far, you fishing in wells. How far goes a man with the fish in himself? Spiritual eye is open, get a grip on yourselves. I see through the facade that you made for the sheep. I walk through the mirage with the prince of the peace. Indeed, everything that you do will get reaped. Can't redeem cash or the loot when you leave. Only your name and your soul remain. Name might change to see the halo of flames. I'm getting points, you just pointing, not posing a challenge. You opposer can't make points if your point is invalid. I go hard like I'm posed to, cause life is a challenge. I pick apart a pretty flower, she love me or not. That's the rule to pimp a player, no love for the dice. I pull up, she paint the pipe, and then peel out the lie. She pretty shallow, I still poke it anyhow though. I leave it squirting like a super.
soaking semi-auto. They say I'm kicking knowledge, what you think Jay and Nas did? Feeling 40k steps above my brief synopsis. Switching topics, you can't top it, time is ticky-tocking. I'm the new slick Rick, but with the deeper conscience. I came from Gary, Indiana, y'all just prima donnas. From where you die to be a king, but most believe with honor. From where the cops kill kids before they meet the father. They pour demons in my city, you can hear them hollering. But Jesus still reigns supreme, you can seize the crown. Just cause you say your name, hold on, mean I'm kneeling down. Getting high off life, I can see the ground. If there's heaven for a G, then I can see it now. So it's hasta la pasta, homemade lasagna. Too hot to bite, you won't make mañana. Sheep let us straight come back. I see you slipping away, drifting away. Look, praying for better days, trying to get away. But this ain't track. You did things that you think that you can't take back. So what could replace that? I hop in the booth, lay that truth. Straight facts. I heard a quote by Megan Evers, quite clever. If I'm correct, it says that you can kill a man, but you can't kill an idea. So my flow well furnished like IKEA. Guaranteed to meet anybody's criteria. I'm serious, try to decipher my lyrics. Seems like history repeats itself. That's what happens when you black and gotta teach yourself. Program to chase dreams cause you see the wealth. Money, cars, and hoes, do you see yourself? Say you live life like Al Pacino. Move keys to Perico like it's legal. Instead of teaching kids how to pop the ego. Limiting whatever skill they probably needed. We should say pray more, get a Bible and read it. You gon' need it, nothing free in this world but Jesus. Sheep let it straight come back. I see you slipping away, drifting away. Praying for better days, trying to get away. Hey, sheep let it straight come back. I see you slipping away, drifting away. Praying for better days, trying to get away. But this ain't track. You did things that you think you can't take back. Sheep let it stray. Sheep let it stray, come back. Hey, sheep let it stray, come back. Drifting away, praying for better days, trying to get away. Hey, sheep let it stray, come back. Come back. Sheep let it stray. Hey, come back.
All right, and welcome back to the Solomon Sports bah. Podcast. That was bah. Sheep
bah.
By Ricky Taylor.
Bah.
Bye. Yeah. So indie artist, I actually ran across this song doing music subs for Track Stars, and it, I don't know, it just stood out, sounded really well done.
It's you gonna hashtag him?
More of a backpack rap than trap crap rap.
Rap.
So
rap. What?
Yeah. So it's okay. More of a backpack rap than trap crap rap.
Oh.
So he liked that. You know you did. Bars. Anyway, so we are... very, very interesting thing that happened the past couple of weeks was Mace, who was... Do you know who Mace is?
Does he actually spell his name with the dollar sign?
I mean, his rap name, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's how he does it.
Oh, well, see, I already know he's so classy.
He's very classy.
No, I don't have a clue who this guy is or what he's done or said.
Okay, so
yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of a back seat and just throw in my two cents every once in a while because, you know, I'm good at that.
So so Mace he's an artist. That was a throwback, 2 cents. So
yeah.
Very few of y'all probably know what that is.
All right.
So so anyway, Mace was artist owner of Bad Boy Records under Sean Combs, Puff Daddy.
Puffy.
Yeah, he was on a label with Biggie Smalls, and that's probably the only two people you know.
Was he Puffy at that time?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
So anyway, he was on a label with them, and he was part of a smaller group with another rapper named Cam. Now, they called him Murder Mace. They called Cam Killer Cam. And so, but they had a big, huge falling out. Mace ended up leaving rap and ended up giving his life to Christ. He wrote a book. I hadn't read the book, but they actually talked about the book on the Track Stars radio show this week. And in the book, he had said something to the effect of, rap is of Satan, like rap's evil, I'm never rapping again. If I ever go back to doing rap, it's because I fell away.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
And that's what he said. And then like a couple of years later, he ends up doing an album called Welcome Back. And the album is like a very clean album.
Okay.
It's not Christian rap. But it's like clean. He classified it as Sesame Street rap. is what he classified it as. But he came back with a clean album. Like, I couldn't.
Sunny days. So.
Anyway, but right after he gave his life to Christ, he ends up immediately becoming a pastor. And like an actual pastor of a church.
Wow.
And so, which is.
It's kind of fast.
Bad discipleship. And apparently he wasn't, like, he said he wasn't, he didn't ask to become a pastor. Like, now, I don't know if he, like, the interview he did with a lady named Angie Martinez, he wasn't, like, clear with anything.
Hmm.
It was really frustrating because it was like, every time she asked him a question, he kind of curbed it.
Is he in politics?
He could very well be. Yeah. But so, like, you know, she asked him because this diss track that he came out with, it was like 20 years later after he became a pastor, boom, he drops a diss track out of nowhere. Like, Cam made a new album. He's touring right now. But in the very intro of his new album, he talks about, like, a historical situation that happened. And I guess that rubbed Mace the wrong way that he's bringing up such an old event. And, like, re-bringing it back out in the light or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess, you know, and that, and Mace also said that Cam's been talking crap about him for years and years and years and years and years. And so there were several things that he had in regards to his diss track. And I figured some of those we could, you know, kind of mention because he claims to be a believer.
Uh-huh.
He said he's not in a religion. He's in a relationship with Christ. Which okay. was part of, which his excuse or whatever, his reasoning behind it being okay to do this, because the diss track was not like a clean diss track. It wasn't like my Track Star Sports, the Ritz diss track. This was like he was cussing him, calling him a PUS, you know what, like all sorts of stuff. And he was saying, like, well, a religion is a bunch of rules of what you can and can't do. He's like, and, you know, being in relationship with God, you know, that's how you find out what you can really do with your life.
Oh.
And so when he said it like that, I was like, okay, well, that's, yeah. I mean, I would kind of say that's, you know, kind of sort of biblically correct. But I don't think that means you can do whatever you feel like you want to do in response.
You know, sin, I was just having a conversation with my daughter today, actually about sin and how we have a tendency to rationalize our sin. Because she was saying, so how is it that a Christian can be gay? How can you be gay and still be a Christian even? And I was like, okay, well, sweetheart, how can I be a liar and still be a Christian? You know, I still lie. I still do things that are wrong. I still sin. And I rationalize them at that time. And that's what we do. That's what Satan wants you to do. Satan wants you to rationalize. Oh, but, you know, the situation's different. You know, right. This doesn't really apply that way. You know, the Crusades, you're killing people in their own land. But it's okay because it's you know, really it's Christian kind of thing. it's all good. Don't worry about it. Right? Okay. Well, that's not God.
Right. Exactly. That's not Holy Spirit led at all.
Yeah, Mace, not God.
But the other thing, too, was like he was talking about, you know, like I said, he was dancing around a lot of answers. And she was like, well, what's going to happen if he doesn't stop? And he was like, well, I mean, it's just not going to end well. Like, he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't give any direct answers about anything. But
what?
He just kept saying.
Is he going to pop a cap?
It's not going to end well.
No, okay.
It's not going to end well, is all he kept saying.
See, and, you know what?
But, and then she had asked him, you know, she was like, and all this whole entire topic is going to be based around that interview, because that's the interview that I heard. It was like an hour and 30 minutes. But, you know, she asked him, she was like, well, let me ask you this. She was like, you know, what are your thoughts on being, you know, a pastor? He said, whoa, 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 whoa. He stopped her. He said, see, that's your problem. Right now, you're looking at me as a pastor. And right now, I'm an artist. I'm not a pastor right now. I'm an artist. He said, when I go home to my wife, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an artist. I'm a husband. To my daughter, to my kids, I'm not a husband. I'm a father. And so we kept like putting these separate lines on titles in certain situations. And I was like,
we kind of call that being two-faced.
I was like, is that, that's not biblical. Now, I don't know if he's been, being discipled for the past 20 years that he's been a pastor. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he's still a pastor or not. And she even asked him, she was like, are you still pastoring? And then like, he dodged that. He was like, my name, I can't remember his name, but he pretty much said his legal name. He's like, Mason, whatever his last name is. And I was just like, dude, you're setting a horrible example for anybody out there who is wanting to give their life to Christ. And the other thing too is that, you know, people are watching and they're like, well, this is what Christians do.
Right, exactly.
And so, like, you know, Christians, we kind of have to speak out against something like this because it's a public display of a proclaimed Christianity that isn't a biblical Christianity. Right. I would say the same thing about our very ever so humble president. You know, just because you read from 2 Corinthians doesn't make you a Christian. And
or even our last president and Jeremiah Wright. I mean, just saying.
But, you know, in general, you know, you got to speak out about these kind of things. But and then the other thing too that he had mentioned and I thought would be worth, you know, talking about is he was saying that, you know, Cam had been dissing him for 20 years, like over and over and over. Now, I hadn't followed Cam or Mace for 20 years. I don't know what kind of things had happened, what shots were taken or whatever, like, you know, verbal shots.
Right.
And so, but he was saying, no, he over and over, and I turn my cheek, you know, and he kept using some biblical references here and there just to kind of show, hey, I'm doing the Christian thing. I was being a pastor. You didn't respond to me being a pastor, so I had to come out as Mace the man. And that's what he kept saying, like, you know, he's a man. I'm a man before I'm anything else. I'm a man. And I was like, well, you're showing that. You're showing the fleshly man part coming out.
Yeah, but good job.
There is a good question. There is a good discussion. And there is, how far do we let ourselves get pushed and trampled on before we do take some kind of action? And so, and what kind of action do we respond in a way that they're responding to us because that's how it's best received from them? Because, like, for example, for, you know, praying for somebody, like if it hadn't worked for 20 years and there's some type of, you know, danger being announced or whatever, like, you know, praying for somebody, praying for your enemies, you know, that's a very biblical response. But what if that really isn't taking effect right now? Do we respond in a way, in a different way than what might explicitly be biblical said?
Just nuke them.
All right, Trump.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just saying, North Korea, they're not paying attention. You're going to get it, son.
But anyway, man, but I don't know. What do you think? What do you think in response to responding to somebody who's been punching you for 20 years and you keep turning the other cheek? Do you think doing a diss, even if it was a clean diss track, if he hadn't cussed, he hadn't been using foul language,
right?
And he did a response track kind of talking about him. Do you feel like that'd be out of line for a Christian to do?
Well, there's kind of two segments or two parts to that there. One is that, you know, you could argue that KJ52's Dear Slim kind of maybe a response track in a way. And I think he did well with it. So if Mace had come out with a like a Dear Slim kind of track, then, you know, I we wouldn't be having this conversation. You know, we'd be like, right on, Mace, good job. A diss track to me really just says, Satan's bugging you, man. Somebody else has got control over your life, and Satan's enjoying it. So, you know, for Mace to do this, it just shows that this person has so much power over his life, and that means that he's really not in that deeper relationship with Christ. I mean, when you're walking with Christ, man, it doesn't matter who's saying what about you. You know, I think about like Chip and Joanna Gaines. You know, they had all sorts of junk talked about them. And, you know, they didn't tweet anything stupid. They didn't post up anything. They didn't come out with some sort of diss track or anything. They just, you know, they simply responded, "That's not true. That's not what's going on." You know, I mean, who cares? Yeah, stand up and say, "No, that's not the truth." But go on with your life, man. Come on.
If you don't know who Chip and Joanna Gaines are, they hosted Fixer Upper on HGTV.
Yeah, well, and they still have one last season that just started.
Yeah, so, but, you know, very open about their faith.
Yeah.
They did the whole I Am Second thing, and they wrote a book and a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and Chip's come out with his own book now, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's, but what he's saying is he's done that several times, and I guess he just got fed up with it. And so I guess it's like to the point, the kind of thing I think about in this scenario is like if somebody walks up to you and they just keep poking you, and it doesn't hurt at first, but then after a while it starts to build up a little bit of, you know, soreness, and then it gets aggravating, and then, you know, you just get frustrated and you're ignoring it for 20 years, and finally you turn around and you shove them.
I think for me the analogy where I get lost there is physical contact versus verbally, you know, expressing something. As I have people that still talk crap about me today, and you know what? I just don't care. It doesn't bother me. By my actions and by what I do and everything else, it shows that these people are wrong. And so it just doesn't bother me.
People talk crap about you?
Yeah, all the time.
No way.
You do it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but versus, you know, if you're like poking me, okay, I'm going to tell you to stop. You don't stop, I'm going to punch you.
I think that's how he's viewing this, though.
Well, I understand, but...
Because where he comes from, talk is always followed by action.
But that's what I'm saying. A real man doesn't care. A real man says, "Hey, you know what? You just say what you're going to say, man."
You just said Murder Mace ain't a real man?
I'm saying that he's got some issues he needs to work out, and amongst them is letting somebody else have that kind of power over his life. So
right,
and you're just talking about words, man. Grow up.
Yeah, I don't know the situation honestly. You know, at this point in time for me, I honestly feel like he might be going a little bit broke, and he just wants to release some music. And this was the way to make a big splash to jump back into it. Yeah. I mean, you know, he does a diss track out of nowhere. It trends on Twitter. Everybody's talking about it. Cam does a response track while he's on tour. You know, and this is the way hip-hop was back in that time.
Right.
People went back and forth with diss tracks. Yeah. This is the way it worked.
Biggie.
I used to buy diss, like they were called, like, beep tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Like... And, you know, you can find them at a flea market or whatever.
Where's the beef?
And you would, like, it would just be a whole entire, like, 18, 19, 20 track mixtape of different disses between, I almost said Christian artists.
Between hip-hop artists.
Between rappers. And, it's kind of getting that spirit again now. I know you probably don't have any idea, but like when Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma, two ladies out there, they did some disses to each other, Meek Mill and Drake, and now, you know, Mace and Cam, who have not really been, you know, relevant to mainstream hip hop the way they were at one point, are now back in the headlines. And it's like, you know, so what's the way to do that?
Maybe they got together and said, "Hey, you know what? Let's do this thing."
I could
so that way we can get some more album sales.
I could halfway believe it. And yeah. Even Mace said in this interview, he said that Dame Dash, one of the you know, like the big structural people back in, almost like a Jay-Z, Dr. Yeah. Dre, he told him, he said, "Look, you and Cam should like beef." You know, whenever he was coming back into music, or he was trying to come back into music, he was like, "No, I'm not doing that." And I feel like, you know, 20 years later, he's like, "Maybe we should. Maybe if we want people to, you know, buy some music or whatever." And
because
I don't know what he's been doing behind him. I mean, he could have money. I don't know. But, you know, he's got this big old flashy Jesus on his, you know, his chain. And I couldn't even tell what it was. It was so shiny. Like, you can't tell it's a Jesus, but I could almost tell based on what looked like long hair and a crown of thorns is what it kind of looked like. But it was like a crown of diamonds. And so, I think it's a different version of the king. And, but
not the pauper.
Yeah. But, you know, for me, it's like, and just, I always am in a mindset of people are just using things as a marketing scheme. I always think of that nature, and I hate feeling that way, but even if a pastor starts to talk about money in a sermon, I'm always waiting for that punchline at the end, like, you know, better to give than receive, like I said in the scripture, and now we're going to have this collection for such and such. Not that it's necessarily always a bad thing, but in general, though, I'm always waiting to see how something plays out in the end to see if everything was constructed to try to get people to respond.
Well, I think when they pass the plate for the fourth time, it's pretty clear.
So, but, you know, and I'm not saying pastors shouldn't preach about money. I'm not saying it's bad to ask people to give for causes. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying I'm always waiting for that back-end situation to where, like, I don't know. You know, I'm always waiting for that. And so for every situation, period, you know, especially something like this, where he just jumps in and seeing how people respond to it as well. It's like, and then just questions like, you know, how, and I know it's kind of a stupid question to ask, but how Christian is he? Like, how aware of the Holy Spirit is he filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Those are the things.
I think that's dangerous to get into. I
mean, it is. It is, but
that's the sort of thing we should do.
I mean, as a Christian, when we accept Christ, Holy Spirit enters our life. We know the Holy Spirit's in our life through our fruit. It says in the Bible. It says you're known by the fruit you bear.
Yeah, but
and so
your fruit may still be developing.
I mean, it may
even
be.
Even 20 years later.
But it's like, but you know what is not fruit of the Spirit. Just because you don't have enough of a certain kind of fruit.
Yeah, you'd like to think so, but.
You're still letting, you know, and so, and I'm, you know, and I am aware that you have to be careful judging people's fruit and stuff.
I've seen a lot of spiritually dead people sitting in pews.
Oh yeah.
So
or in pulpits.
Yeah. So you know, I hate to say that, you know, one, judging them on their spirituality and solely on their fruit, but knowing that there's, you know, some folks just don't get it as much, and I'm not saying like, oh, I get it, and they don't necessarily, right. But to be able to say that. You know, yeah, they're not getting the whole Holy Spirit aspect of things. That's clear. But some people it just takes longer, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too generous.
Maybe the rap game is evil.
Well, I mean, he did say that. So.
Or maybe the music industry, not the rap game, the music industry in general brings out all kinds of evil.
Oh.
Because it's all based around marketing music and
which is why we like Humble product. Beast.
So that's true. Yeah. That's true. There you go. Yeah. So
if you don't know about Humble Beast, check them out at humblebeast.com.
Free music. Free music for
free
everybody.
Music, yeah.
But anyway, man, I just wanted to bring it up today. So many things that he said in the interview, and I wish I had time to chop it up and bring certain clips out and throw it into the show and us respond to it, but honestly, just didn't have the time to put that much editing into it. And but
hey, can we get on with the song? I'm excited about the song.
You're excited about the song?
I like this song.
Well, before we jump into the song.
Oh, we have a sponsor, don't we?
Yeah, we got a couple.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who? Oh, Blended Fellowship at blendedfellowship.com. You can learn more about the ministry at blendedfellowship.com. Reaching the deaf through the gospel of Christ, or something like that. I don't remember the tagline, dude.
Dude, you had it so down point for so long.
I know. Well, you know, the thing is that I think the problem was that we had it on the website, and so it's easy to just pull up the website and I can just recite it real quick, and it's not up there anymore. So I don't even know what our bringing deaf and hearing together. Yeah,
something like we're just going to change it now.
Yeah, well, no, that's what it says on the website.
I think it was reaching the deaf with the gospel, touching hearts through the deaf. Was that it? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
That's what it used to be.
Yeah, it sounds good though. I like it.
Cool.
So yeah, we'll go with that.
I guarantee you, some folks who listen to the show regularly probably know it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, dude. Well, I mean, Rico was like, I mean, he was sitting here, he was like quoting stuff from
us.
Yeah,
he was just
like,
man.
What?
He was.
But did I say that? Okay.
So anyway, also check out GenesisProDesigns.com. The artwork we had done for the show, he hooked us up with that, and as well as my Business with the Bordeaux podcast logo. So if you think that looks good, you need some work done, hit him up, GenesisProDesigns.com. And also, again, our affiliate link with Covenant Eyes is on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and SolomonSportsPodcast.com. So if you are trying to figure out a way to deter yourself and your family from, you know, seeing any type of pornography or nudity or inappropriate anything on the web, this is a way you can do that and also support the show at the same time, because we get a portion of those proceeds.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I will say this, though. If you haven't checked it out yet, I did an interview last week on businesswiththebordeaux.com or on the podcast with a lady who she's done tour productions. She's worked with Humble Beast to do a tour management, artist management. Very, very, very great interview. We talked about the CHH sexism thing and Wordsplay, like Andy Mineo Wordsplay. They did the album Magic and Bird. Mm-hmm. Which done really, really well in their touring and everything. His wife actually shared it, and she's actually the person that kind of spearheaded the whole CHH sexism discussion.
Okay.
So she's the one that brought it up, and everybody was like, that is a thing.
Right.
And so a lot of women were speaking out about things that have happened to them in the professional world of CHH, which people don't really see, especially fans don't see it. We don't see that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So we hear it, we're like, what are you talking about? You're just complaining about yada, yada, yada. But talking with people, individuals, you hear stories about things that actually do happen.
Right.
And I think she brought it up just letting people know that this type of stuff, like the Weinstein situation, that stuff isn't just out there in the secular evil world. It has drug into the church. And then even broke down into Christian hip hop some in some aspects. So
maybe not quite to the extent of,
not to the same extent. But anyway, so if you haven't checked it out, make sure you do that. And that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to end off the show this week by one of Sean's favorite bands,
1000 Foot Crutch, Jingle Bell Rock,
TFK. So we will see you back in a couple weeks. And I think we're going to be looking back at our 2017 goals, right?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how we did.
Yeah.
well, we'll visit that next week.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to.
All right. Y'all have a good 2 weeks.
All right. Peace. Well time to go blind in one horse sleigh.